your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel this morning. We're in our sweet and salty series. I'll pull this up on my iPad. I want to start off by reading our key verses for the series. It's from Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 24, it says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." And then it's Colossians 4, verse 6. It says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Sweet and salty. So today I'm going to be talking about sweet and salty speech, the words that we use, the way we speak, which is something we do every day all the time and can get us into a lot of trouble if you're not smart. I first want to say that Kevin Papsik, anyone who knows Kevin, he says hello. He was texting me this morning from Jordan. He's doing well, and I can't believe it's already been 20 days since he's been gone. So he'll be coming home in 10 more days. So Kevin says hi, and he may be watching right now, or he will watch this as a video when it is over, which is really cool that you can be in the Middle East and watching us here. So everyone say hi. He can't hear you. Never mind. But everyone says hi, Kevin. sweet and salty, our speech. I remember as a kid learning from James chapter 3 that the tongue has the power of life and death. And like a rudder on a ship, although it's very small, it can move this huge ship wherever it is turned. And our tongue can be life or it can be death. Like a spark can cause a great fire, so can our tongue cause great damage. I want to read this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to read verses 18 through 35. We're going to read, it's kind of a lengthy story, but it's a really good story to exemplify somebody whose speech was seasoned with salt. And we're going to look at a woman by the name of Abigail. So I want to read verses 18 through 35. It says, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 seahs of parched grain, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, laid them on donkeys. She said to her young men, 'Go on before me. Behold, I come after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow, Nabal, has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him.'" He's saying, "I'm going to kill every male in Nabal's family. "When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he.'" His name meant folly. "Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." Excuse me, it meant fool. "But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives before the Lord, before God, has restrained you from from blood guilt, from saving with your own hand. Now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. So she's saying, don't kill everybody. Don't take the sword. Don't take matters into your own hands. Let the Lord handle the situation. She's saying, don't be held under the sin of blood guilt. Don't murder today. She says, please, now, are we in verse 27? Yeah. Verse 27. Now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of God. The evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. She says, if men rise up to pursue you, to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living, in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies shall sling out as from a hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, because David was anointed king, but he wasn't king yet. So she's saying, one day you're going to be king. She's saying, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord working salvation for himself. And when the Lord God has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. And then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried to come to meet me. Truly by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. Then David received from her hand what she had brought him, and he said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice, and I have granted your petition. I want to pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that as I speak today, God, that you would move in our hearts. God, that it would be true that we would leave different. God, we would leave this place a little bit different. Bless today, God, in Jesus' name, amen. The tongue has the power of life and death. I want to give you guys a little background beyond the story about this man, Nabal. Has anybody ever seen the movie My Cousin Vinny? Anybody? The TV version, preferably. But they call him the quintessential Gambini. And so today, our story is about, and I read this in a commentary, and so I thought it was kind of funny, is about the quintessential fool. Nabal was called the quintessential fool. I didn't know what quintessential meant, so I looked it up. And it means the most perfect embodiment of something. So Nabal was such a fool that you could see his name in the dictionary to exemplify what a fool was. He was so much that way that even his own wife described him as that. So at this point in David's life, he's not king yet. He was anointed king by the prophet Samuel, but at this time, he's running for his life. Saul is out to kill him, and so he's running, he's fleeing. He has 600 men with him, and they're going from place to place running from Saul. And David actually had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he didn't take that opportunity. He chose to spare Saul's life. And so for this time, Saul is not pursuing him, but he's still not safe. And so what was going on was there was a time of sheep shearing. They were shearing their sheep, and Nabal was one of the wealthiest men around. He had about 3,000 sheep. He had about 1,000 camels. And he was the top guy. And so what David and his men did was they enacted a wall around Nabal and his servants so that no harm could befall them. You see, back in the day, they didn't really have law and order. They didn't have police to protect. And, you know, we don't have a perfect system, and no policeman is perfect. But I thank God for our law and order that we have in this country to protect us. It is really amazing, an amazing thing. In their day, it was very common to be robbed, to be beaten, to be taken advantage of because, I mean, the king protected himself. You didn't have the troops going, being called, right? There was no cell phones, right? There was no satellites. There was nothing that we have today to protect them. And so David acted as an army to protect Nabal, who was rich, who was probably robbed, had servants murdered and beaten on many occasions. And so David did a great service to Nabal. And so what we see in the story today was that David sent 10 men to Nabal and said, "Would you give us some bread and water?" He didn't say, "I want all your sheep." He didn't say, "I'm the greatest. Give me all this food." He just said, "Could you just feed us? Could you just give us some meal?" Which back in the day was a small thing. If anybody came into your house, they would wash your feet and they would give you bread and water, bread and wine. It was a common courtesy. And so David wasn't asking for much. He wasn't asking for something over the fence, something that would have been crazy. And so Nabal, being a fool, he doesn't just say no, but he begins to insult David with words that would cut the deepest. He didn't just say no. I mean, it was a good thing you did for me, but just go. I don't want any part with you. But he cursed David. And, you know, David was running from Saul, and this was a big thing in his life, and he was distraught about it. Samuel had just passed away, and he begins to curse David and to pretty much call him a rebel and an outcast and to rebuke the call of God in David's life and to say, "You know what, he's not really going to be king. You're not who you say you are. You're just some punk kid who's doing his thing." And essentially he says to the 10 servants is, "You should probably become my servants and not this David fella, because we don't really even know if God is with him." He goes that far. And as I was thinking about this, our sweet and salty words, man, how quickly are we, when we're in a fight or when we're in a jam, to say words that will cut somebody the deepest? How many times when our back is against the wall, or maybe a Nabal comes against us, and we kind of do what David, and we go out for blood, and we want to murder this guy immediately. You know, none of us are perfect, and we've all made mistakes in this area, but our words have the power of life and death. My prayer today is that we would leave this place and our words wouldn't come out so easily as hate. Our words of attack or even defending our honor wouldn't come out so hurtful to cut somebody so deep. And we've all done it. We've all been in a fight, and you know, although we forgot the last two fights, they somehow get brought up in this fight. And it shouldn't be. And this is very difficult. And this is something we all struggle with, our tongue. And so my prayer today is that we would grow in this area. And I know I need to grow in this area with how I speak, how I respond. But David was God's anointed, and Nabal was speaking against him. And so we see that David was going to come and kill Nabal and all of his servants. And so Abigail says, "What can I do? How can I solve this situation?" And so we read in the story that she immediately got tons of food together, way beyond bread and water. She got sheep, she got raisins and cakes and the best of the land, and got it all together to bring to David to appease him, because she knew something. I love what she says in verse 27 and 28 and 29. We're not going to read it, but she says that you are God's anointed. Instead of speaking death to David, instead of saying, you know what, let's get all the servants together, let's call all of our friends, get all of our swords and fight, instead of going to Nabal and saying, look, David's coming after you, let's flee, let's try to save this, she goes to the solution. She does something that she can. And she says, let's save life today. She takes David, who was just spoken evil of, and says, you know what? You truly are the Lord's anointed. And one day you're going to be king. And I love that because she speaks directly to his heart. She doesn't tear down, she builds up. And so today we want to show the effects of gracious words seasoned with salt as we look at this person of Abigail and contrast it with Nabal, who was a fool, whose words were not gracious, and they weren't seasoned with salt. So we have some slides. I want to talk to you guys today about salt and some things that salt does. And so the first thing we have is salt preserves. Excuse me. Abigail's words preserved the lives of the men in her household. You see, she saw the problem, how wicked Nabal was, and she did something about it. She took action. She went to the source. I love this. A lot of times we have an issue in life or we have a problem arise, and we're so quick to tell our best friends and gossip to so many people about what they did or what happened or how injustice happened to me. And so little do we go to the source of the problem. We go to the person who can actually do something about it. But so often, we just try to get everybody on our own side. We try to make everybody believe our side of the story. And I love what Abigail said. She said, don't take this into your own hands. She said, let the Lord fight your battle. See, the number one person we need to go to in conflict and in these times is God. And then number two is to go to the person who we can create a solution with. She didn't go to her neighbors, to her husband. She didn't start a fight or a war. She went to the source to deal with the conflict. And she preserved the lives of everyone in the household. How many of us have been hurt by somebody's words? Is that everybody? How many of us have hurt somebody with our words? It's everybody. You see, you know, this isn't the easiest or greatest topic to preach on, but it's real. And I definitely don't speak from a place of perfection or on the way there, but I'm trying. And we all should be. Because our words are so important. Our words can preserve life. You know, you hear so many stories of kids who plan to go home and commit suicide because of the words of other kids. It's a sad thing. You know, Nabal's words were not preserving anything except himself. And normally, we just try to build ourselves up and tear everybody else down, but do your words preserve? Are your words like salt? Another thing that salt is number one is, or number two is, salt is valuable. Salt is valuable. Abigail's words added value. You know, I read leadership books and I do a lot of leadership study to become a better pastor, to become a better leader. And I love John C. Maxwell. He talks about adding value, and he says that every person you come in contact with, you should be adding value to. Amen. That your goal and your mission, when you go anywhere, not just church, and it's not just to your friends, right? It's not just to those who like you, because it's easy to give a compliment to somebody who's complimenting you. But adding value to the person who's acting out or being rude, because a lot of the times we act out and we're rude and we're jerks to people because we're hurting inside. And it's at those times that we need to see through the swear words, we need to see through the terrible comments, and we need to show love. We need to have our words seasoned with salt and adding value to someone else. Nobody likes to be told they're worthless. Nobody likes when words are tearing down. The words were adding value. They not only saved everybody in the household, but they added value to David and his men. They kept David and his men from committing murder. They added value. You see, when conflict arises, we have two options. We can either look for a solution, or we can keep creating the problem. We could fuel the fire, we can add more fuel to the fire, or we could put some water on it. We can use our words to tear down, or we can use our words to build up. Let's be a part of the solution and not the problem. Let's take a step back. You know, it's funny because like anger management, there's like the steps, the 10 steps, and I love it. It's, one of them is just take a step back and breathe. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. You see, this is really good preaching, guys. I mean, I should be getting more amens here. You know, this is life stuff that we need, that every day we need. You know, when I last preached here, something that really hit me, and I said, and I think I said it like 5 or 6 times in a row, is that your call in this life is to reach the lost. That your number one call in this world is to reach those around you. You see, as a pastor, I don't work where you work. I don't work with the employees that you work with or the people that come into your job. I don't. Pastor Mike doesn't, but you do. You're called to have seasoned with salt words for those people who come in contact with you every day. No, you don't have to be perfect. And yes, we wake up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. And maybe that's the best time to step back and not say anything. Are your words adding value to the conversation at hand? Or are they empty and worthless? Nabal was asking for trouble. He was only thinking of himself. In a conflict, to add value, we need to think about the other person. Let's step back and think about the other person. Number 3, salt purifies and softens. Abigail's words softened David's heart so he would not commit murder. He was on his way to kill Nabal, to kill this fool and to kill all the men that were around him. And the words of Abigail purified and softened David's heart so he wouldn't commit this wicked sin. I'm going to just read her words again. "Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make you a sure house, because you, David, are fighting the battle of the Lord." It says, "The evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." She says, "If men rise up against you to seek your life, the Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living and take care of you." She builds him up. She doesn't tear him down. She purifies. She softens. The next thing is salt melts hard ice. Salt melts hard ice. Anyone glad winter's over? Anybody? Put the salt away, right? Who did a lot of salting this year? Did we get a lot of snow this year? I can't even think. It wasn't that bad, was it? No, but salt is really good for breaking hard ice. Abigail's words melted David's heart and changed everything. What I didn't read in the beginning of chapter 25 is that Abigail was a very beautiful young lady. And then we come to find out she was very intelligent as well. So I'm joking right now that David's heart was kind of melting, you know what I'm saying? But her words melted his heart because she was tactful. She was beautiful and intelligent. She was trying to save life, not take life. She melted his heart. And he made the right decision. The next thing that salt does is it prevents infection in a wound. I love going to the ocean. I used to live on the ocean. My family, we lived in Massachusetts for 9.5 years. We were 5 miles from downtown Boston, and we were 1 mile from the beach. And there was a Dunkin' Donuts in every corner. It was amazing. Ken, when are we going back? I don't know. I do miss Dunkin' Donuts, by the way, but in the ocean. But if you've ever had a cut and gone in the ocean, you know that that cut begins to heal. And if you've ever had an ulcer or something in your mouth, it burns like crazy. But when you put salt on that, it starts to get a little bit better. Salt prevents infection in a wound. Nabal's words were an infection to David, but Abigail's words were healing. You know, I'm kind of saying the same thing over and over again. I'm hoping that it really sticks. And you know, this is basic, guys. I'm not saying anything new today, but do we do this? Are our words bringing death, or are they bringing healing? It's funny, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. You know, I wish that statement were true, but it is one of the worst statements ever said. Because I think words break bones a lot harder than sticks and stones do. Because a cast can heal a broken bone, but sometimes it takes years to overcome spoken words. You know, it's so easy to hold on to a misspoken word. You know, I never found this so true until I got married, which my wife isn't here today because Anna has a fever of about 104. So please pray for my daughter. She's really sick. But I could tell my wife she was beautiful 10 times, but when I got mad and said, "You're an idiot," she really remembered that I said, "You're an idiot," as opposed to the 20 times I said, "You're beautiful." Because words cut deep. And words can always hurt me. We rise and fall in our hearts by what people think about us. And I know it should be what Jesus thinks about us, but we really take what people say to heart. You know, there's a Christian, a church, and a pastor that started what's called the culture of honor. That you never speak a negative word against somebody. And it's a powerful thing because I did one day, I went through my day and I tried to tally how many negative things I said or was going to say, and it was a lot higher than I thought. If we would take inventory of our words, would we find that we were saying uplifting things, or would we find saying negative things? How many times in a day did I make a mistake and say, "Oh, I'm such an idiot," and I don't think anything of that, but I'm not an idiot. I made a mistake. How many times do we use words that cut the deepest? Nabal's words cut David deep. And we could tell that it did because he immediately strapped on his sword and he wanted to kill. Because the words cut so deep into his heart. And maybe right now you're thinking of a fight that you're in or were in when someone said something that cut so deep. I'm going to ask you to do something very difficult, and I'm going to ask you to forgive. I'm going to ask you to begin to think good thoughts about that person. I'm going to ask you to begin to think to see that person the way that Jesus sees that person. And this isn't easy. And maybe you've been through some terrible things in your life, and this is very hard to deal with. I ask you to deal with it. I ask you to seek the one who can bring the solution, and that's Jesus. Because we all have a Nabal in our life. My prayer is that you find your Abigail. I pray that you would become an Abigail in somebody's life. I pray that you would become an encourager, that your words would bring life to those around you, that your words would make somebody's day that much better because you were there. You know, you don't have to go around hitting someone with a Bible, but if you say enough nice things about somebody, they're going to ask you, "Why are you being so nice?" You don't have to shout, "Repent or go to, you're going to hell." Like, don't do that. Like, I ask you not to. Be somebody's friend. Love on somebody. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, be in their life. You know, I love inviting people to church, and we should be doing that, but it's almost an empty invitation if they don't know who you are. Let's be involved in people's lives. Where am I? The words that were infection in David's heart were healed by kind and pure words. You know what's going to completely shock somebody in your life? You know what's going to be a great example of Christ? Is when someone's shouting evil at you and you begin to shout love back. I didn't say shout evil back. I said when someone is shouting evil at you and you begin to shout evil back. You know, we're going to start a judgment-free zone. I like to play video games. Judgment-free zone. Okay. It's created. Whew. All right. And, I play killing games. It's very godly. And people, when you beat them, they say some really rude things sometimes. Will knows what I'm talking about. Say you cut somebody off on the road, right? There's not a nice word coming out of their mouth or a nice finger being pointed at. They're not giving you the cross. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing the response I get sometimes when I respond with love. A lot of times I hear, and they don't know how to respond because in our society, people aren't used to being loved. Maybe you're not. And I love my parents, and they've taught me something great, is that every person they come in contact with, they love. They don't need to know you. They don't need to know how many good deeds you've done, how much you tithe. That doesn't matter to them. They love you because Christ first loved us. And so for me to say I love you is an easy thing. My prayer is that that would become an easy thing for you as well, that you just love, that you just love. Next one is too much salt. It's the last point. Too much salt. What time is it? Am I doing all right? Okay, we're going to be closing soon. Too much salt ruins the soup. I don't cook soup, but too much salt does ruin the soup. Does everyone agree? Be in agreement on that? Too much salt, and you're just kind of like, but salt is amazing. What's my point here? Abigail did not keep talking and talking. She said what needed to be said and trusted God with the outcome. She trusted God with the outcome. A verse I love in the Proverbs, it says, even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. I should have learned this lesson a long time ago. But even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut. You see, she didn't just keep talking and talking and talking and trying to persuade David and persuade David and persuade David. She acted, she spoke kind words, and then pretty much said, my life is in your hands. And thank God David was a godly man. I want to quote Proverbs 9:7-9. It's going to be on the screen. It says, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. He who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. It says, but reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. You see, Abigail didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to Nabal because he was the quintessential fool. And if she would have went to him, he was not going to receive her words. You see, because going to a scoffer, going to a fool is only going to create abuse. But she spoke kind words to David. You see, too much salt ruins the soup. I'm going to have the worship team come up. I'm going to close with reading the conclusion to the story from 1 Samuel 25. Salt preserves. Salt is valuable. Salt purifies and softens. Salt melts hard ice. Salt prevents infection in a wound. Too much salt ruins the soup. I was going over this talk this morning, and I got a text from my dad. You know, I love my dad. He's a great dad. And I got just a great encouraging text from him. And I don't know, I was actually kind of feeling a little bit alone today. Go figure. And you know, I just got an encouraging text from my father. Not that my dad would text me and say something mean, but it's just really nice when you get something encouraging said to you. It just really is. We're gonna close in a second, but I really want each of us to take inventory of our tongue today, of our words, of how much evil we speak, of how much life we speak, how quick we are to lash out. You see, today my prayer is that we become a little bit more like Jesus. We'd stop going to everybody else and tell them what so-and-so did wrong or how they hurt me, and we'd start going to the source. We'd be a little bit more like Jesus. Because how we act, how we speak, affects all those around us. And that little spark, which is only a little spark, can start a wildfire that burns for months and years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And there's many of you in here, you're holding on. You're holding on. And you're holding on to what they said, to what they did. Let it go today. The Holy Spirit wants to free some of you in here today from words that were spoken over you and that you're holding on to. This definitely wasn't in my notes. The Holy Spirit wants you to let go this morning. Spirit. I feel like there's going to be a releasing in someone's heart this morning, that the harsh words aren't going to flow as much anymore because you're releasing the pain inside. They need to just let go. Just need to let it go. You need to run to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus, the one. You need to run to the man who can change it all. See, none of us are perfect. Many of us have made mistakes with our words. Father, forgive us today. Forgive us, Father, for our words. Help us to be men and women who can turn around and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me, God. And I'm praying today there would be a releasing in someone's spirit, Father God, to stop holding on to words that were spoken over them, God, and they would begin to hear the words of love. They would begin to believe that you love them, that you care for them, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you're on their side, and that you're a wall around them, God. I want to read the end of the story in 1 Samuel 25, 36 to 42. It says, Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing until at all until the morning light. And in the morning, when the wine had gone from Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became a stone. And 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing." You know, he wasn't happy Nabal had died. He was happy that he didn't sin. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal in his own head. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." She rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." Abigail hurried, rose, and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. Her words melted David's heart. I'm praying that God would raise up Abigails in here, that your words would be those to uplift and to encourage, not to tear down. Are your words seasoned with salt today? Are they seasoned with salt? Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We're going to close with this song about the great name of Jesus. And it's at the name of Jesus that all will bow. It's at the name of Jesus that all bondage is set free. And so maybe you're being bound by spoken words, words that were spoken over you. Let's run to Jesus this morning. If you want prayer, I'm going to be up here if anyone wants to pray it over, but let's take inventory in our lives today. How quickly are we to lash out? How quickly are we to fight back with evil words? Let's step back for a moment, take a breath, and speak words of love and words of life. Father, I thank you for today. God, this simple truth that all of us know, all of us were taught from a little kid, to be kind to others, to speak kind words. I pray that we would be using our words, Father, to build up and not tear down. God, I pray today that by your great name, we would leave this place changed. We would leave this place changed using words of love and words of life, seasoned with salt. In Jesus' name.